You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony provides a truly holistic overview of health and vital well-being that will assist you in living your best life. Each week, she brings you fascinating topics about the Law of Attraction, Eastern medicine, as well as energy medicine that will help you to release physical and emotional blocks. It's time to create a truly magical life full of abundance, health, love, and happiness. Dr. Tony has the answers you have been waiting for.
Welcome, everyone, to Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony. I am really happy you are joining me today for part two of Crystal Healing with my guest and dear friend, Laura Sederman. Welcome, Laura. I am so happy that you're back because there was so much information to know about crystals, and last week we got cut out because of the not enough time, but I know you have a lot of wonderful information that you're going to give us today, and I'm really excited.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. So nice to keep our conversation going because I think we were definitely having a lot of fun, and again, just talking about the crystals and how we can foster that relationship with ourselves and use them as tools in our life. So today I'll go through some situations that you guys can use your crystals in everyday situations, as well as share some of some stories that I've had that have been really wonderful to have the crystals. And
why don't we start with that? I think I was excited last week to hear about your story. You said that you had a story about how you use crystals with your vertigo. So why don't we get started with that and see? Tell us, how do you use crystals to manage your vertigo?
Yes. So this is one experience that I actually had a couple weeks back. It was very unexpected. Upon waking up, the whole room was spinning, and this is something that had never happened to me before. And at this moment, I am going through transition, as many of us are, you know, in terms of home and work. And I just totally felt, you know, it took a lot to ground. So luckily, my mom was around, and I had her bring me my crystals that I use. And, you know, just she brought me stones and she brought me my apatholite that I love and some grounding stones. So I just wanted to share that because, yes, I had to really go within myself and find my center amidst everything feeling like it was spinning and out of control. But for me, having that tool of the crystal, it gave me an anchor. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a place to bring myself to this physical terrain. So if any of our viewers or listeners have had vertigo, you know, it's a very kind of scary out-of-body situation. So I've had other scenarios, being that I use the Ayurvedic language. So when a lot of the wind energy or vata energy is high, I also have similar experiences where I grab the stones to bring me down, to bring me back into my body. And again, I just want to touch that the crystals in this case are tools. You know, they are not bringing us some miraculous external. It is us who sets that intention and that connection. And I myself feel safer holding the crystals. And their energy is very grounding because it is of this earth plane, right?
So that's what you did when you were going through the vertigo? Do you held the crystal next to you, or how did you use it?
Yes, I held the crystal. And I had some stones, some literal stones that my mom had, and just put it by my feet. And I had some stones over my chest. So this just gave me a sense of boundary to my physical and energetic space. And for the few, I would say probably for the next 5 days, I've been having my crystals. So there were a couple episodes where I woke up and I still felt some spinning, and I just would reach to the crystal. And I could tell you that, I don't know if it's just, again, because I have that relationship, but within seconds, it was like an immediate boom brought me back to center.
And so which one did you use, just so people know? Because I suffer from vertigo, by the way.
So, okay.
Well, that's good to know. Which one did you use?
So I use one that I have, which is an apothelite zeolite mix. And I would not say that this is probably one of the most root chakra grounding stones. But again, this relationship I have with this stone, the intention that I've set, it's almost like, hey, buddy, you're going to be right by my bed. And anytime I need you, whether that be waking up and feeling anxious or such, I reach to it. So, you know, you can definitely, you may have your own unique crystal that you feel very safe holding, or you could also go into that root chakra. You know, we did give some examples last week, working with the root, the garnet, and obsidian and tourmaline and such. So
you're saying that there are tools, they're not magic, that will help us. And so they're just a tool to take us to the next level or to heal. So how, what other ways can we use them as tools to support us?
Yes, I love that. I do believe, just to touch on the word magic, I do believe we have that inside of us, and however, you know, everyone understands. But yes, I think that it is us that needs to tap into that and then connect with that. So how we can use them, again, to bridge back to my experience that I shared last week with the Tropa Center and working with a lot of the guests, a lot of the guests would want to take something home that usually involved the mala of some sort, so they could use that during meditation. And, you know, sometimes they're like, oh my God, this is pricey. Do I need it? And I said, look, you don't need it. You know, I'm going to be honest. It's not going to do the conscious travel for you, but it will be a tool. And if that tool is used by you with the intention, right, to cultivate this vibration of using it during your meditation, of holding it and feeling more connected, just like I shared with the vertigo, just the mere holding brought me back to that place because there's a reference, right? So the way that we can use this as we cultivate an association in our brain, like, you know, meditating with my clear quartz brings me calm. The next time I reach for that clear quartz, maybe I'm not in a meditative state or having the time, but it can bring me back to that. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of the beauty that we can see, which we see sometimes with essential oils and other things like that, neuroassociation. I believe we can do that with the crystals. So meditation is a big one. I think, too, it gives me a sense of something to hold. Mm-hmm. When sometimes just gives me kind of a buddy again. You know, here I am, and I sometimes choose a crystal and maybe set an intention of, like, I want more clarity, maybe reach for my Herkimer diamond or my clear quartz or such. So that is one way. Yeah. And then the other way, which I feel like right now is super easy and accessible, is just to wear them, right? Mm-hmm. They're so beautiful, and there's such beautiful jewelry, and again, malas and amulets in so many ways. So again, touching the crystals, creating that physical bond with them is so important, more than just seeing them. So I like to think, like, you know, recently even with my mom, she's been really working on, you know, kind of taking back her power, mm-hmm. and going through her whole health journey. And it came to me, and I was like, hey, why don't you work with Tiger's Eye? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of came to me. So we were at a market yesterday, and she bought one, and I said, put it inside your shirt and kind of have it, you know, over your solar plexus. So anytime you feel a weak or a little out of your power, just hold it, you know. So again, wearing them, you would see a lot of jewelry, especially rings, where the backing of it is open and the crystal mm-hmm. can touch directly into your skin. So that's something fun to look at when you're thinking about a pendant or such. Sometimes it's really beautifully encased in the metaling, but sometimes it's open, and that is really, mm-hmm. it's a little bit, I would say, I don't know if it's more powerful or not, but I like to have that crystal touching and be able to transmute that energy.
Because crystals are alive, like everything else in this planet. Just because they're rocks, that doesn't mean that they're not alive. And they do have a vibration, and the vibration matches certain emotions that we have. And so when you're wearing that or it's touching you, it kind of, we're like, they're like a tuning fork. They kind of tune us to that energy and help us feel that emotion or ground us or, you know, recover our power or whatever it is that we're looking for. So it's really a nice idea, like you said, to touch the skin. I have a beautiful sugilite. And when I first bought it, I'm like, well, I mean, the stone itself is beautiful because sugilite is, for people that don't know, is purple with blue inside, like really strong blue is for the third eye. And so in itself, it's a really beautiful stone, but it was just like a teardrop, a big teardrop. And I'm like, it's too simple. It doesn't have any, you know, any wire or anything around it. And I wanted to like cover it because I wanted to make it look more fancy. And then I was told by somebody, it's like, well, why would you do that? You're going to put something in between you and the crystal. And I'm like, oh, that's right. And so, I mean, I love it. It's a great stone to meditate and to calm me down. And it's just, it's Archangel Michael's stone too. So it's just pretty protecting too. It's a very, so I'm glad I did it and encase it into, you know, put it in some sort of metal around it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, metals, different metals do have their benefit. But like you said, in this case with the crystals, like for us to touch them, to hold them, mm-hmm. and to really, again, foster that relationship with them. So, yeah, wearing them, I think that's probably the way that most of us, you know, come across them. Maybe we are gifted something and we're like, oh, what is this? And mm-hmm. again, that little magical moment where you're like, why did this come to me? Wow, I just looked that crystal up, and I mentioned the Book of Stones last week, where you can see the meaning, you can see the elements, you can see what chakra it relates to. So it is a really wonderful tool. Another way is to have them around your home. So there's so many ways that, you know, crystals can add a certain vibration to a room. I know that for me, selenite is super important, and I do somewhat of gridding. So I have long selenite sticks, and I put them in different places where I feel like they reflect and create a power field of cleansing and protection. You know, I have them by my bed. I have them in my bathroom. I have them pretty much anywhere. And I don't know. I can feel it. And a lot of times when people come into my space, they say they feel very calm. And mm-hmm. so I do attribute that to my little friends. And a little side note on that is, so, you know, but our viewers, I recently did a transition move, and it's somewhat temporary. So all of my crystals I had to put in a box, and I thought, I cannot put these in storage, mm-hmm. you know, it's like putting live plants. And so luckily, I have a friend, and she's crystal sitting and taking them out and discovering them. And every day she's like, oh, this one crystal is so beautiful. And so it's really fun. And yeah, just touching back to what you said, you know, they are alive. So even though they are decorative, maybe have a bookend or, you know, have a beautiful selenite lamp, but they are adding an energetic vibration more than just a decorative piece. And another favorite way that I love to use the crystals are in the bathing ritual. So if you do have a bath, there are now certain crystals and stones that are not, that can be toxic if they're put directly in the water. So I do encourage everyone to definitely do some research before you do that. But if you're not sure, caution, you know, what is that saying? Err on the side of caution or whatever. you can just put them on the edge of your tub mm-hmm. and have them near you. And again, what's your intention? You know, are you healing from a broken heart? Did you have an argument? Are you feeling super ungrounded, anxious, angry? Choose those crystals, put them near your space, you know, light the candles and bring in that magic. You are creating that, right? It's not just coming from the crystal. You're setting that mood. Now, some people may not have a bath. So what I would do is either charge the water. Again, you could do like a mason jar, fill it up with water and put the crystals on the outside. Or there are some that I would feel safe because I've looked them up, like rose quartz, put it directly, and then do like a rinse. Mm-hmm. So you can use a vibration. There's lots of studies we've seen, with the crystallization of water. So that is another beautiful way that we can use and charge.
And some of them are not toxic, but they do dissolve in water. And I had a few people that by accident, they want to charge them with cold water and they end up with powder at the end. And so it's also, if you don't want to ruin your some of your crystals, check out first which ones will dissolve in water. Selenite, yeah, right? Just exactly. One of them.
Yeah, and I know that it's trendy. A lot of times people will put crystals directly in their drinking water. Again, I would just say educate yourself. There are some containers that you maybe have seen where the crystals are separate from the water, but again, it's the same idea. It's charging it, but the actual crystal is separated with glass, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, selenite is one of those that I mentioned. It's a beautiful clearing stone, but it is comprised of elements similar to salt. And for that same reason, it's very self-clearing. You don't need to put it in water. You don't need to do that kind of other cleansing ritual with other stones, but it will dissolve. So, using them during bath time, shower, charging. If you have drinking water, again, you don't have to put the crystal in the water, just having it near. And that can really charge our body again. You know, we're, what's the percentage? 80-somewhat% water. So we don't have to go too far with just kind of the same idea and logic with that. The other thing is, again, the power of ritual, just like to transition from the bath, the rituals that we use, the intention that we set forth really brings about the belief and the power to foster an energetic field. So this is very important because, again, if you're just like, yeah, I don't know, somebody gave me this and like I have no connection to it, somewhat of what I mentioned in the episode last time, it's like even though I admired them, I didn't speak that crystal language. I wasn't open to that receptivity. So again, set your intention and be willing to receive and be open. You know, a lot of times people love it in their altars. I even use, crystals around my plants. Sometimes if a plant looks a little sad, I'll bring it a little crystal. If I'm charging the medicine, you as an herbal medicine maker as well, I'll put them outside. I'll charge my aromatherapy potions. I'll charge, depending on the medicine and the intention and the power of the crystal. You know, again, not directly in the liquid, but just keeping them on the outside as maybe something's tincturing or so. And so rituals are really, really beautiful. And again, we can, use those in so many ways of however you are on your path, where you are, being open to what comes to you, but then also in your intention, using the things that you do have for what you want to bring about, what changes.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about last time how you can also balance your chakras with using the crystals in one easy way. Just to summarize from last time, one easy way is to by color, right, and associated with the chakra.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. So I do have, because last week we asked people to send in the questions, and we did receive a bunch of questions, but I selected three random people's questions, and I want to make sure we have enough time to talk about them. So I'm gonna let's spend a little time. Going over those questions. And the first question comes from Anne, and she says that she suffers from chronic anxiety and stress, and she said she was wondering if Laura can suggest any crystals for her to wear or how to use them for that type of issue, anxiety.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Anne. Yeah, again, I think with anxiety, what comes to mind is what are we experiencing, right? And maybe going back a little bit to that chakra idea, like are we feeling unsafe? So maybe really looking at grounding. Are we feeling unloved and out of alignment with our truth? So I would say, and maybe ask yourself some questions, you know, in terms of where, if you can identify and kind of see with that tool of which chakra, which stones. Now, as a general, and then using Ayurvedic, a lot of the times the anxiety energy is Vata energy, which is the air and space element, and a lot of wonderful stones would be, you know, would come into, I would say, kind of the palette of pastels, so maybe like some rose quartz, some very light, kind of blue and goldens. Smoky quartz is a really beautiful one for this. And again, that Book of Stones will touch on those. Mm-hmm. And I always have found that, again, in, you know, the Chopra Center, a lot of our guests would really resonate and sometimes just, you know, go to these. Again, a lot of that heart space, worrisome energy, feeling like things are our fault, can really fall into that heart space of just not feeling safe and maybe needing a little bit of that rose quartz to just say, hey, you're fine, everything's going to be okay. We may need a little bit of boost in confidence. So looking at that solar plexus and really bringing in sense of protection and power if we're experiencing that self-doubt, right? So really at its core, anxiety comes from being misaligned with our true essence, but I know that it is a path. So those are some of the stones that I would recommend, and I would just say maybe visit your local crystal stone place and do the whole, maybe close your eyes, feel it, and set that intention. But I would definitely invite you to use these on that journey. I know they've helped me, and you know, job interviews or, you know, difficult discussions or talks, and just really holding that crystal was like having a friend in that moment. So
you recommend holding it, and what about wearing it?
Yeah, the same. So if, you know, if it's in a amulet, as we said earlier, or if you're wearing a necklace and you want to just like reach to it, or a ring that you, in those moments that energy comes up, that you just kind of hold. So definitely, I think, you know, with all situations, but especially anxiety, we just need to feel safe. We need to feel grounded, and we need to feel okay with where we are.
So the second question comes from Rose, and she feels like there's a lot of people around her and that she's too sensitive, and that she picks up on people's emotion, and sometimes maybe not even people. She just feels like around her there's some sort of maybe entities, or she doesn't understand what it is, or some energies, and she's looking to see if you can suggest any stones or crystals for protection.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yes. Wow, this is such a big one, I think, for all of us, right?
Yes.
And, you know, people is like, whether it be at the workplace or, you know, something, and that friend. And, you know, I think that, again, you know, we're all on a scale of sensitivity. There is some truth for energies that are around us. I would one, work again on stepping into our power, because we have the power to command things that are not serving us to dispel from our space. So again, looking at the crystals as tools, they're not doing it for us in the sense that without them, we're like the scared chicken. Okay, so again, take back your power. What I would share in my own ritual is, again, those selenite wands. Man, they're like my swords. When I cut negative cords, and you know, these, again, they don't have to be like the, you know, scary, awful beast monsters. It can just be that worry energy when you were thinking about your mom, or the worry energy when you were thinking about your children, or what could happen, or whatever, right? So we want to take back our power. So I do a lot of clearing with these selenite wands. In my physical, I imagine almost like if I'm cutting around me and I use them, you know, to clear. I put them in my room as well. I am a sensitive being as well, so sometimes I'm woken up with weird sensations. Say that word, weird, right? But just things where we don't understand. And again, I have my crystals near me. I hold them. I invoke. And with power, which is the most important thing, you need to say that you are powerful and that you can transmute these energies around you. Okay, so we really want to not fall into this victim, like other people are stronger and I don't have power thing, okay? The other one is obsidian. So this is a volcanic rock that is acts as a mirror. So, you know, if you like this idea of kind of the evil eye protection sort of tool where you can wear it, where you can dispel it, and you set that intention. Anything that is not coming to me in love, I transmute it and I return it for transformation. Mm-hmm. Okay? I definitely also would recommend black tourmaline. I personally keep one under my bed. I don't know. It just makes me feel safe. So whatever, you know, vibes with you. But yeah, black tourmaline. I definitely travel with it. I have necklaces with it. Onyx is another one. So
let me tell you a story about tourmaline. I put it on my door. So I think that if people don't have good energy, they just won't walk into my door. They won't even knock. So they're outside my door. Just people, they're very discreet. People can't see them, but that's where they are.
Oh, I love it. Every light worker has her tricks, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would invite you to dig that, but really more than anything, I would invite you to really take back your power and knowing that you can command that if somebody, for whatever reason, right, maybe sometimes people are jealous or we feel jealous or we feel threatened or fear. You know, these are just part of our human experience, but it is part of our power and our journey to transmute them and transform that energy into something that we do want. Mm-hmm. So you can use all that anger or jealousy and literally shoot it in the direction of what you do want. Mm-hmm. And you can set that intention and you can use these crystals for that.
Well, thank you for that. We have time for just one more question, and it comes from Matt. And Matt is bringing up an interesting question about grief. And I think it's interesting, even though in his case, he is grieving the loss of a loved one. But I think we all need a little bit of support with grief right now with this COVID situation. And we're losing not just people, but we're also losing a lifestyle and just our the way we used to live. And so he wants to know what kind of crystals can he use to help him deal with grief?
All right. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, definitely a big one, right, for all of us. I think the physical transitioning of a loved one can really bring about so many deep emotions. I know I lost my daddy at 20, so, you know, just that journey. And grief can bring up so many things, right? So again, kind of with the anxiety, like let's look at to what emotions, in addition to obviously our heart just feeling that emotional loss, you know, the selenite, doing that clearing, because a lot of time grief can bring us a little bit into denser energies. So wanting to keep our energy field clear and light. That rose quartz, malachite, just bringing that to our heart, whatever makes you feel safe. And, you know, sometimes even like a Herkimer diamond, if we want to connect with loved ones, you know, maybe a clear quartz, set an intention to communicate and see, you know, if you get any messages, if you, depending on how that death was, if there's anything kind of left unresolved or unsaid, or that you just want to know how they're doing, or any messages from the other side, you know. I know I got a lot in dreams, so that can be comforting. And, you know, in tying it, yeah, you're right, grief is impermanence too, you know. It's one of, I would say, the hardest things we have as humans. Here we are, we have a body, and then, oh, that changes. Oh, people have us, and then they leave, or jobs change. And yeah, right now in COVID, I think where we feel safe and grounded, if it's in external structures, a lot of us can be struggling right now for sure, you know? And yeah, I mean, we're all going through it. So I would say, again, like, what is it that we are feeling? You know, are we feeling a sense of grief for, you know, obviously a physical death? Is it the grief of like how a life was that we don't know if we'll have again? So again, maybe creating their, I mean, tapping into a little bit more of creative third eye energy. I know that I've really had this challenge through this, from like feeling a little doomed and darkness to like, oh wait, no, I'm a powerful creative being. Let me tap into my third eye. So it can go in different directions, but I would say first and foremost, getting cleared, connecting with the heart, elevating the consciousness to the non-physical, so it can be an invitation to expand, and getting grounded, feeling safe.
That's great. That's great. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining me. It was amazing to have you join us today. It was a great show. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you. Yes. Well, there's so much information out there. So I encourage everyone. And again, just pick up a crystal and get to know it. Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into Multidimensional Health Show. For more information or to schedule a private consultation, go to www.drtonycamacho.com. Have a great week.
You're listening.